You know, it's not unusual to hear some very good musicians in the city of Nashville. That shouldn't surprise you. And it's not unusual to be watching this musician perform and go, oh, I would give anything to play like that. And then you talk to that musician and you find out that that musician has spent not hours, not days. They have spent their entire life learning how to play their instrument that well. They have devoted entire days to doing nothing but rehearsing. It's all they did. While you and I were watching the ball game, where you and I were shooting hoops at the park, they were at home in their room working on scales, playing that same song again and again and again until they got it right. Then they would come out and play it for us. What we don't realize and what we forget is how long it takes to be an overnight success in Nashville. It takes a long time. It takes not hours, not days, but years. What they have been doing in private that you never knew about is now what you celebrate in public. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus tells his followers, and I want you to pay attention when we read the passage, how many times he says, and your Father who hears you in public will reward you, who hears you in private will reward you in public. How many times does he say that? Because to be like Christ takes not hours, not days, but it takes years of seeking Christ, who he is, and in doing that, finding out who I am. Matthew chapter 6, we're going to begin reading with verse 1. If you have your Bible, stand there. Stand up and turn to Matthew 6 with us. If you don't have a Bible, while I turn to my passage, go find yours. Verse 1. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others as to be seen by them. Otherwise, you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. So whenever you give to the poor, don't sound a trumpet before you, as do the hypocrites in the synagogues and in the streets, to be applauded by people. I tell you truly, they have their reward. But when you give to the poor, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Whenever you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, because they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by people. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into a private room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you pray, don't babble like the Gentiles, since they imagine that they'll be heard for their many words. Don't be like them, because your Father knows the things that you need before you ask them. Therefore, when you pray, pray like this: Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive others of their offenses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you don't forgive others, your Father will not forgive your offenses. Whenever you fast, don't be gloomy like the hypocrites, for they make their faces unattractive so that their fasting is obvious to everyone. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward. When you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that your fasting isn't obvious to others, but only to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees you in secret will reward you. Your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Over and over, that is the whole passage. This hook that holds all of these things together. When you give to the poor, when you pray, when you fast, you do it in such a way that it is only done for the audience of one. It's only done between you and God. Giving to the poor was a celebrated spiritual discipline in the time of Jesus. If you were a person of means, then you were expected to care for the poor around you. There was no social security. There was no government safety net. So the poor depended on the generosity of those who had more. Of course, it became a spiritual competition. If I gave something to the poor, then I wanted you to know that I had given something to the poor. And we would announce it with loud fanfare, and I would say that I am generously giving to help this poor man who needs my help, on and on and on. Jesus said, don't do that. There's a couple of reasons you don't do that. One, you don't embarrass the person who needs your help. The cycle of poverty is very hard to break. And if you're in that cycle, it is almost impossible to get out of unless somebody helps you. But that person you're helping bears the image of God Himself. And if you're doing it to help the poor, Jesus says, you're doing it to me. So don't embarrass the person you're hurting, you're helping. Don't hurt them. Lift them up in a way, quietly, discreetly, so that they give praise to God. Honestly, this person has been praying, Lord, help me. Help me find a way out of this. And then your gift comes, and they see it not as a gift from you, but as an answered prayer. How about that? You can be the instrument that God uses to answer someone's prayer. When you give, do it quietly so that your right hand and left hand don't know what each other's doing. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Don't do it for the reward of others. Jesus said they have their reward. If your goal is for someone to say, man, that was amazing, Jesus said you've got your reward. You've impressed your friend is impressed. That's it. Doesn't go any further. Same thing with prayer. Don't pray so other people will be impressed by your prayers. Don't draw attention to yourself when you pray. Don't use a whole lot of words that say nothing. But you quietly go off and you enjoy the intimacy of your prayer. Honestly, some of us pray in public because we don't want to pray in private. What Jesus is inviting you to is an intimate conversation between a child and their father. That's the word that Jesus uses. When you pray like this. You pray Abba, which in the colloquial language means daddy. Even now, if you go to the Middle East, you hear children running through the village crying out, Abba, 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 and they're calling for their daddy. That's the same word Jesus said that you use when you pray. And you spend enough time in that position of intimate conversation, not trying to impress God. He already knows what you need before you ask Him, but deepening that relationship so that in that conversation you become more and more like Him. And the one who hears in secret will reward you. And what is that reward? That reward is people, other friends noticing, wow, you're looking more and more like Christ. You don't need as much as you used to. You don't lose your temper like you used to. You're more loving. You're more kind. You're more gentle. You're rewarded in a way that gives glory and honor to God. Now, let's talk about Baptist favorite subject, shall we? Fasting. How many Baptists do you know who are good at fasting? Me either. That's not our problem, is it? But Jesus said, when you fast, not if, when. When you become so hungry for God to answer your prayer, so desperate that is more important than eating. Blessed are those, Jesus says, who hunger after righteousness. Have you ever prayed like that before? Has there ever been something so important in your life, a prayer so desperate that you would rather pray and spend that time in the presence of Jesus than eat? No? then you're not really serious about prayer. You're not really confident in what Jesus can do. Because if you haven't by now had those moments where it is more important that Jesus hear this prayer, it's more important that I get the answer that I seek than it is to eat, then you're not close to praying. There are times in life that overwhelm you. There are times in life that you literally do not know what to do next. Those are the moments when you fast, when you say it's more important now that I hear from God than it is to eat. When you fast, do it in such a way that nobody knows it. Don't go around telling everybody how hungry you are. Don't wear your makeup in a particular way that makes your face look skinnier. You know, you can go for days without food. I know you're thinking that you can't go minutes, but you can really go days. And sometimes there are moments more important in life than food. When you pray, pray like this. When you give, give like this. When you fast, fast like this, so that your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So let me ask you a question. Are you living sideways? Here's what I mean by that. Is your attention going from east to west, side to side? Or am I more concerned about what this person is thinking and what this person sees and what this person knows? Or is my life kind of living sideways? Or are you living vertically? Where the only person I really care about is the word and the voice of Jesus Christ. To hear him say, "Well done," is the only thing that matters to me. One day I walked into the sanctuary and I had on a pink dress shirt. A church member walked up to me and goes, "Why are you wearing a pink dress shirt? And I looked at him and I said, "Jeannie says I look good in it." And hers is the only opinion that matters. Jeannie said I look sharp in that pink shirt, so that's why I wore it. Whose opinion are you seeking? Whose approval do you want? Are you living sideways? Do you want the approval of others? The bad news is in this passage is Jesus says, if that's what you want, that's what you'll get. But if you seek the approval of Jesus, then that's another way to live. That's a better way to live. Jesus knew how to live better than anybody who has ever lived in history. And his counsel to us at the beginning of Matthew 6 is live vertically for the approval of God. It's his word and his word, his love and his love only that matter.